Turn with me to the book of St. Luke. The book of St. Luke. I'm reading from chapter 21. Jesus uttered these words 2,000 years ago. He said, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations." I do not want to sound like a preacher of gloom, but things are going to get worse before they get better, because the Bible says they are. And if there is a passage of Scripture that describes this present age, this one is. Distress of nations. With perplexity, and the word perplexity means a problem without a solution. Who can solve the problem of Vietnam? Who today can solve the problem of India? Who can solve the problem of the sleeping dragon China that is just now beginning to stir awake with its 800 million population? Who can solve the population explosion? Who can solve the terrible crisis of money that is threatening to engulf the entire world in economic crisis? Who can solve the communistic efforts to engulf the whole world in slavery? Distress of nations with perplexity. It said the sea and the waves roaring. Now this passage means the nations and the peoples of the nations roaring in discontent. The 26th verse says, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Now that doesn't mean heart attacks. The heart, when it speaks in the Bible of the heart, it very seldom ever means the physical organ that pumps blood. 99% of the time, it's speaking of the spirit of man. And it means here that man won't have heart trouble. That's not what it's referring to. It means that men will just lose heart. Their spirits will just flag and say, "What's the use?" Whereas they see these things coming upon the world, they'll lose heart. Just don't want to keep on. It said, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." That this is speaking of the second coming, when he'll set his feet bodily upon the Mount of Olivet in Jerusalem, and it'll cleave to the east and the west. And he'll come back personally with his saints with him. I plan to be in that number. And he said, "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." I want to use for a subject tonight flying missiles, atomic bombs, and the second coming of Jesus Christ. I announced last evening another subject for tonight. After praying further, I have not felt led of God to continue in that direction. Flying missiles, atomic bombs, and the second coming of Jesus. Would you bow your heads? Fathers, I approach this people tonight. I come before them believing Thee. I thank Thee for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I thank Thee for using these frail, unworthy lips of clay. I pray tonight, O God, that we would preach this message to the extent that men's hearts would be stirred and their spirits would be lifted. And they would know that the imminent return of our blessed Savior draweth nigh. God, I ask it tonight that Thy Spirit would cover this place. And I ask it in the name of Jesus, and everyone said amen and amen. The greatest news that man has ever known in all of his life or history is the news that Jesus Christ is coming back. As I mentioned to you the other night, whenever the astronauts set foot upon the moon, the papers all over the world began to bring out their biggest headline attractions, speaking of man's most momentous scientific and technological efforts and achievements. One great newspaper brought out the type that they set the headlines with. The type that they had been saving for many, many years, ever since the inception of that newspaper. And I read with my eyes that they started to use this particular type that is larger than any other type that's ever been placed on headlines. But they thought, well, no, we will not do it. And even though this is an agnostic age that we're living in, even though this is an atheistic age that we're living in, even though men today may try to say we don't believe in God, way down deep inside, they know there is a God. And that type was placed back in its place of security. And the writer in this particular column went on to state in the Baton Rouge newspaper that I was reading, one of America's most noted news journalists, that the type that they had started to use was the type that they planned to use at the second coming of Jesus Christ. When I read those words, it thrilled me, my friend, because I still believe in the hearts and in the lives of millions of people today. There beats an anticipation and a longing for the coming of our blessed Lord and our blessed Savior. And the greatest message that man has ever known in all of his history is that our Savior is going to come again. President, or former President Lyndon Baines Johnson, ran on a platform of peace and prosperity. With all of the mighty, massive doses of billions of dollars, he was unable to solve the problems of Vietnam. I heard this powerful politician, Joseph Alsop of the Alsop Brothers, stated that he possibly is the most equipped politician there was in the entire world. Vietnam would be solved. Why, those few small guerrilla bands and that little rice paddy nation, this insignificant cone of the earth, would soon be solved in just a short time. But Vietnam loomed like a tremendous, bulbous effort that completely dethroned the mightiest politician the world ever knew. President Nixon stated when he was running for the highest office in the land that he had a plan to end the Vietnamese conflict. But today, this terrible war is still dragging on, and it seems to be grinding down little by little by little. And as it grinds down, the Israeli-Arab conflict, it's heating hotter and hotter and hotter. The French Republic, just the other day, said over 100 jets to the Arab nations, jets to be used against Israel. The diplomats from the little Israeli state has approached our high offices and has asked that we sell some 25 Phantom jets to this nation of Israel, and that the American government sells some 50 other type jets that they may defend themselves. And the other day, one man said, what can be done? Is there a head wise enough to solve this problem? If France, if Great Britain, if Russia, if other nations gives more and more and more weapons to the Arab nations. And today, Soviet Russia is flowing billions and billions of dollars of the very latest of radar equipment, the very latest of jet fighter planes, the very latest of artillery devices, the very latest of missiles into the Arab nations. We must somehow stand behind Israel. We must give them weapons and planes and guns to defend themselves. But the conflict goes higher and higher. And this diplomat went on to say, where will it end? Will it touch off a powder keg that will blow this entire world to smithereens? You listen to me tonight. For the first time in the history of the human race, for the very first time in technological advancement, for the very first time in scientific achievement, man has reached the place where it is theoretically possible to blow himself from the face of the earth and to completely annihilate all of mankind. I stood the other day at the base of the beautiful Sandia Mountains outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico. I had been taken by a military authority onto this great base that helped in the construction of the very first atomic devices. I was shown the exact replicas of the two bombs that were dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, Japan. I looked at these bombs that they had humorously named the Long Boy and the Fat Boy. One that stood about 6 feet long, and the other bomb that was bulbous in nature, about 3 feet long, but about three times as thick. I stood there locked in solemn thought as I looked at these perfect replicas that completely obliterated a quarter of a million lives in one hellish, fiery, fell swoop. I stood there locked in my own thoughts. The man that was with me said, "Brother Swaggart, do you see these bombs?" I said, "Yes." He said, "These bombs are like the flicker of a candle. They are like the flicker of a firefly. They are like the igniting of a single match in comparison to the great weapons that we have devised in this hour. Do you see that great four-lane highway leading into the bowels of those mountains?" And I looked, and in the distance I could see it. He said, "There are massive steel gates that cross that beautiful four-lane thoroughfare." And he said, "One of the greatest security measures of networks that has been built rings that mountain. For in the bowels of those earth, of this earth and that mountain, is enough explosive devices, atomic bombs, hydrogen bombs, cobalt weapons, that takes a hydrogen bomb to fuse and explode them, to completely annihilate all of mankind, to cause this entire earth to erupt in one hellish, fiery swoop." I looked at this, and my thoughts were sober. My reflection and my countenance was somber as I thought of the words of Jesus Christ when he uttered that those days would be shortened, because if they were not shortened, that no flesh would be saved. I'm here to tell you tonight that we're coming down to the end of time. I stood at Warner Robins Air Force Base in Warner Robins, Georgia, the other day. Another military man took me up into the belly and the fuselage of the mighty bomber, the B-52, the same superstrata fortresses that are bombing Vietnam in this hour. This mighty plane, and yet it's obsolete even today, and billions of dollars have been appropriated to perfect an atomic bomber in the coming decade. And I crawled up and walked into the fuselage of this beast of the skies. This man was beside me, pointing out the various different operations. We walked to the cockpit, and I sit there in the seat where the pilot sits. A giant array of instruments spread out before me. I looked at this panorama of technological advancement, of scientific display, of the ingenuity of man, this massive display of power. And I thought, "Oh my God, what strength, what power." And I turned to him and asked him, I said, "Sir, where does this plane carry the atomic bomb?" He looked at me. There was no joking, no jesting, no levity, no laughter, no humor. He took me through the plane, showed me the hooks where the bomb sit. And he said, "Brother Swaggart, we can also hook two under each wing." He said, "This one airplane can completely annihilate from the face of the earth 10 of the biggest cities ever built by the hand of man. This one airplane can make beautiful structures, massive cities with millions of people and population, nothing but a funeral pyre and blackened and darkened earth." I hear the words tonight of Dr. Harrison Brown, one of the world's most eminent scientists, the man that was chosen by American experts to be sent to Russia to try to deal with their scientists, to somehow try to put a stop to this hellish conflict of weaponry and escalation. This man said, "It is theoretically possible to detonate one cobalt bomb of such tremendous megatonnage off of the Pacific coast, just one, mind you, until the fallout from this tremendous weapon in 24 hours' time will completely sweep over the West Coast until there is not one living thing left. And then it will go to the mighty, massive eastern cities, and this nation will wither and die in 36 hours. Not a green blade of grass left. Not one single city left. Not a human being to breathe. Not a baby to smile. Not anything but a holocaust of such horror that it defies all description. Brother, these are not words that are idle threats or coming from the mind of some scientific lunatic. But if you'll read your Bible, Jeremiah, Zechariah, and the prophets of old, these men of God wrote like they were writing the headlines of our present-day newspapers. They wrote like they were speaking the words that our scientists and chemists and biochemists are speaking today. They spoke of massive casualties. They spoke of massive cities burned by fire. They spoke of Holocaust that defies all description. And Jesus said that unless the days be shortened, that no flesh would be saved. What did he mean by this? He meant that man would become so evil in his devices, that man would become so corrupt, that man would find a way to completely annihilate himself from the face of the earth. And if the timetable wasn't speeded up, and the days of God were not shortened, that man would annihilate himself until this earth would be nothing but a blackened, burning hulk. But the world is not going to end like that. You do not have to sit in fear and wonder in amazement, wondering what is going to happen. Will salt the strategic arms control that the Russians and the Americans are working over right now? Will it develop into progress until our weapons are thrown into the bowels of the ocean and man becomes prolific in his own intellect to guide his own eternal destiny? It looks like that men that can build such massive cities, that can split the atom, that can walk on the surface of the moon, that can reach for the planets of the heavens, it looks like that he could solve his problems. But man cannot solve his problems because man is evil, my friend. Sin lurks in the depths of his breast. His heart and mind is continuously upon evil in this hour. And I'm alarmed in this moment when I realize that America's will to resist is slackening by the very day. When I realize this nation is losing heart. One man approached me in Wisconsin the other night. A man from Scotland, in America only a few months. He said with tears in his eyes, he said, Brother Swaggart, I pray God that America doesn't go down. For this is the only nation left on the face of the globe that still holds to any rudiments of righteousness whatsoever. God help us that we survive and have a revival within our midst. Things are taking place in this hour that makes me to know that the end is hastening, my friend. That time is running out. This world will not be destroyed by thermonuclear holocaust. It will not be destroyed by the detonation of atomic or hydrogen weapons. At this very moment, Soviet scientists are working feverishly to put their missiles into the skies. Mighty missiles that can completely blanket many cities with a push of one button. They are building the mighty SS-9 that has such a destructive force and power that it can blow our Minuteman missiles out of their bowels of concrete in the earth. And our Secretary of Defense, Secretary Laird, in this hour, approached Congress just a very few weeks ago and told this mighty lawmaking body that America's defense must be upgraded, that we must, in spite of our desires, delve into the secrets and unlock the mighty powers of atomic devices. We must be prepared. This came from the words of the Secretary of Defense of the United States of America. And my friend Jesus tells me that when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The Israeli conflict is not going to be settled, my friend. The problems of America are not going to be settled, my friend. Things are going to get steadily worse, neighbor, because we're living in the end time. Time is running out. This world system as we know it is about to come to a grinding halt, for Jesus Christ is soon to come back. I passed through a great city just the other day, and Congress is arguing even now over whether they ought to expend billions of dollars to build fallout shelters all over America. You're going to see this start to come back in the coming months and years. And I passed along a big major thoroughfare, And I looked there that day at fallout shelters that had been built by some enterprising contractor, an entire field that was full of them. I saw those rusting hulks of steel that sat out there, and I slowed my automobile. The big signs were garish in their advertisement. Cut rate prices, bury them in your backyard. I saw a house not too long ago in another city that the basement was built with concrete 6 feet thick. As the owner put every dollar and dime he had into it for a fallout device from atomic warfare. I looked at those rusting hulks in that pasture. I saw the signs advertising the wares, fallout shelters. And I slowed my car and the Holy Spirit literally leaped within my breast. Because I looked there and I thought of the words of David. And I said to my Lord, I'm so glad that my hopes are not pinned on a lot of trash like that. I'm so glad that I'm not putting my confidence in what I see in that field right now. But I like the words of the sweet singer of Israel when he looked up and cried, lead me to that rock that is higher than I, and it shall be a shelter to me. Brother, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, though shadow of sunshine or rain. For Jesus I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. Thank God I'm living by faith, my friend. And I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I'm not looking for a hole in the ground, but I'm looking for a hole in the sky. I'm not looking for a 10 fallout shelter, but I'm looking for a rock to ride out the coming storm. I'm not getting ready to die, but my brother, I'm getting ready to live. One of these days, I'm going to pass those missiles and those satellites about like a shot out of a cannon, because Jesus, my blessed Lord and Master, is soon to come back. And I ask you tonight, are you ready? I love music. There is something about it that thrills me and stirs me. I love to play. For a long while, I did not have a piano at my home, and I would go for a week or two of rest, and I would get to the place I would want to play a piano so bad, I would just about go out of my mind. Music is in me. It just flows through me. And when it gets like that, I'll just have to find one and play it somewhere. Now, I don't know. Theologians may argue about whether Gabriel's going to blow that horn, or whether the Lord will blow it, or whether a cherub holy will blow it. But let's just say, for the sake of conversation, that Brother Gabriel's going to be the one that's going to blow that old horn in the skies. That trump of God that one of these days is going to sound. You know, I don't know if he's ever blown it before. But if he has, he's a musician, and he hadn't got to blow it in a long, long time. It's been a long, long while since he's pressed it to his lips. And my brother, he's wanting to blow it. I believe tonight he wants to blow that horn more than anything else. I believe he's stepping to the portals of glory. And I believe he's looking over toward God the Father. And I believe God the Father's about ready to give him the signal. And I believe when he gives him the signal, that old Gabriel's going to blow that horn. Oh, hallelujah. And when he blows that horn, Jesus Christ is going to shout. Oh, somebody said, preacher, I don't believe in shouting. Well, my God, I believe in it. I'm here to tell you I do. Because Jesus Christ is coming back with a shout. Glory to God. They were shouting when he was born in Bethlehem. They were shouting, the Bible said, the morning stars sang together when this world was formed and created and hung on nothing. There's been shouting on the line of march from Pentecost till now. Shouting in those old Roman arenas. Shouting by the side of the deathbed and the hospital sick room. Shouting at 1,000,000,000 altars. And my brother, my Bible says that Jesus himself is going to come back with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with a trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to be with the Lord forever and forever. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There is a difference in the rapture and the second coming. Now, actually, the Bible speaks of three comings. One of those comings took place 2,000 years ago when Jesus came the first time. And the second coming, he will not put his feet on earth. He will not be visible to every individual in this world. But the Bible said he will appear in the clouds. He'll come back almost to this old earth. He doesn't have to do it. He could send Gabriel or Michael or one of the archangels holy, and I would be satisfied. But my brother, he doesn't want to take a chance on an angel missing the timetable. So he's coming back himself. And he's going to appear there in the clouds. And all this is going to be the rapture. I want you to get it clear tonight. A lot of people say, Brother Swaggart, I don't understand the rapture. What prophecies have to be fulfilled before the rapture can take place? What scripture has to be fulfilled before the rapture can take place? There is no prophecy. There is no scripture today. There has never been a prophecy. There has never been a scripture to be fulfilled for the rapture to take place. Somebody says, Preacher, we're reading in Matthew chapter 24. There is not one verse that pertains to the rapture in Matthew 24. It is speaking primarily of the second coming, when Jesus will set his feet on the Mount of Olivet. It's not talking about the rapture. There has never been one scripture. There has never been one prophecy. Somebody else said, well, preacher, I've heard that scripture all of my life, that the gospel shall be preached for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. Yes, that's exactly right, but it means the end of the age, when Jesus will come back and set his feet on the Mount of Olivet. You say, well, preacher, I didn't think there was going to be any revivals during the tribulation period. I didn't think that the gospel would be preached. Well, you're sadly mistaken. Some of the greatest revivals the world has ever known is going to take place in the tribulation period. Well, somebody said, Preacher, I thought the Spirit of God was going to be gone. I beg your pardon. There is no scripture that says the Spirit of God will be gone in the tribulation period. I know you're thinking of the scripture that says, He that letteth will let until he be taken away. But this is speaking of the church, not the Spirit. Because Simon Peter said, In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men dream dreams before the great and notable day of the Lord come. During that hour when the moon turns to blood, signs in the heavens, he's saying that even in this time, even in the tribulation, the Spirit of God is going to be here. God is going to be sending revival and trying to get men to come in, even though that hell has been turned loose. But during that time, friend, the Bible tells us that the child of God, no matter who he is, no matter what color he is, no matter where he lives, no matter what church that he belongs to, if his name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, he is going to be safe in the arms of Jesus, around that marriage supper in the Lamb, already caught up to be with Jesus. Now, I know that a lot of people in the church don't even know what the rapture is. They don't even know what you're talking about nowadays. And others that do know try to tell us that we're going to have to go through a part, at least, of the tribulation period. Now, this is not so, my friend. If you'll read the first three chapters of Revelation, you'll read where the church is mentioned over and over and over again. Jesus speaks to the church. He tells the church to get ready. He tells the church to get prepared. He tells the church to try of me gold in the fire. He tells the church to put on the wedding garment. He tells the church all of these things. But after those first three chapters of Revelation, beginning with the fourth chapter of Revelation, you never see the church mentioned one more time in Revelation. And Jesus told John, come on up here and I'm going to show you what things must be hereafter. And this is when judgment is going to be poured out. Fact of it is, Jesus said in Luke, the 21st chapter, pray that ye be worthy to escape all of these things that come upon the earth. Paul said the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know what he said? He said, comfort one another with these words. Glory to God, comfort one another with these words. Those people were worried that the dead were not going to make it, that maybe they wouldn't go, but he said, you don't have to worry about that, because the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive. He said we. He was expecting Jesus to come even then. We that are alive and remain. Brother, I don't know about some of you, and I don't know about a lot of people, but when that trump sounds, I want to be ready to go, and I'm going to be in the arms of Jesus, sitting down around the table of the Lord, eating and drinking with the Master, there at that marriage supper of the Lamb, while the tribulation period is going on. I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to be with Jesus. Well, glory to God. The rapture could take place tonight. The rapture could take place at any moment. And those of you that believe there are some prophecies to be fulfilled, that's totally and scripturally erroneous. Because the Lord implores us and tells us that no man knows when the rapture is going to take place. And so, if you know that some prophecy's got to be fulfilled before Jesus comes, well, then you're looking for that prophecy to be fulfilled, and then you'll know when He's coming. And He said, no man knows when I'm coming. No man knows when I'm coming. And the rapture could take place at any moment. It could take place before this service is over tonight. It could take place before you come to church tomorrow evening. It could take place tonight. It could take place in the morning. It could take place at any time. The trump of God could sound, and that's going to be the most momentous event this world has ever known. I want you to think about it for just a moment. When millions will escape the pull of gravity in a split second, in the twinkling of an eye. This is what Paul said over there in Corinthians. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. Hallelujah. Corruption will put on incorruption. Mortality will put on immortality. All over this world, graves are going to rumble. I do not know if they really will be disturbed or not. I do not know if the tombstone will move or not. But just for the sake of conversation, let's say that it will. Let's say that old tombstone is going to topple. And all over this world, thank God it's going to happen. That body of that child of God that's been lying there for a day, for a year, or for 100 years, or 1,000 years, is going to feel the breathing of the Holy Spirit, and they're going to hear the trump way down there in Louisiana, in a little family cemetery, way back outside of town, down a little gravel road. My mom last tonight, but oh, I want to tell you, my friend, when that old trump sounds, that tombstone is going to have to set aside, and my mother that died shouting glory to God and heavenly highest is going to be translated and going to be resurrected in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. All over this land, people are going to leave instantly. They'll look by the side of people that have rubbed shoulders with them at the employment bench, but they will be gone instantly in the name of Jesus, by the power of God and at the trump. They'll be riding down the road and talking and holding conversation, and they'll be talking to an empty seat, because one will be gone. Oh, hallelujah! There'll be a conversation, and Dad will look around for his children, and they won't be there anymore. Somebody said, Brother Swaggart, what do you think about the children? Do you think the children of unsaved people are going to go in the rapture? Well, I'll have to answer it in this way. The judge of the earth will do right. And I'm here to tell you tonight that He said to suffer the little children to come unto Me. Oh, glory to God. I believe it, that every child, that every suckling baby, that every infant of arms, that every child below the age of accountability is going to leave this world in a moment when the trump of God sounds. And think like what it's going to be without a child here. Babies will continue to be born, yes, but the others have gone in a moment. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Believe what you like. I believe they are going to go. That's just the way that I see it. I believe that they are ready to go when they die. If they are below the age of accountability, and I believe that instantly makes them ready for the rapture. That rapture could take place at any moment, mister. What is it going to take to be ready for it? There's been a lot of controversy here. What will it take, Brother Swag, to seal and be assured that you're ready when the trump of God sounds? There is one requirement that the Bible states, and I want you to hear me closely. One requirement. And that is to have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. To be saved by the blood of Jesus, and to continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. Jesus said, if ye continue in My word, He said, if you endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of My mouth. Some people says, preacher, I don't care if you got saved 10 years ago and maybe you're not doing too well now, everything is all right. I beg your pardon, the Bible doesn't say that, mister. Jesus said and told those churches over over and over again to repent. He said, if you don't repent, I'll come and take your candlesticks away from you and out of their place. Brother, it's revival today. We must have it within our midst. You may be banking on that night that you walked down an aisle 15 years ago and the Spirit of God touched your soul, and you haven't felt the Spirit of God in 15 years. You've gone out into sin. You no longer hardly know anything about God, but you're resting your case on that moment years ago. Brother, it's not going to be on what you got 15 years ago, but it's going to be on what you have now, or when that trump of God sounds. For the Lord said, if you're lukewarm, I'd rather you be cold or hot. If you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Get on fire for God. Get ready, mister. Stay on fire for God. Somebody said, Brother Swaggart, what about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What about it? Well, I have to be filled with the Spirit to make the rapture. Well, I have to speak with other tongues to make the rapture. I will say this. Jesus' commandment was to receive the Holy Ghost. He didn't play around. He said to receive you the Holy Ghost. But the Bible does not say that you'll have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to make the rapture. I cannot add to the Bible what it does not say. I have to say exactly what it does say. But I'm going to say this, that if you're not filled with the Spirit, why aren't you filled with the Spirit? What is the reason? Why aren't you baptized in the Holy Ghost? You say, I don't believe in it. That's a very dangerous thing. You say, well, preacher, I'm not hungry for it. That's a very dangerous thing. You're talking about lukewarmness now. Well, I guess I'm just too lazy. You're talking about lukewarmness now. And brother, I've heard it said many times, and it's the truth. The thing that keeps you from receiving the Holy Spirit may also keep you from the rapture. You hear what I say today. I'm here to tell you tonight that I want you to be ready when Jesus comes. I don't want that trump to sound. And you say, well, that preacher told me that everything was all right. Live any way I wanted to live. Do the best I could do, and everything was okay. It's not that way, mister. You can't live any way you want to live. You can't subscribe to some tenets of faith or shake a preacher's hand and pay lip service to the Bible and say everything is all right. It won't work that way. You must have an everyday personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You must stay on fire for God. And that's the reason you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to help you to stay on fire for God, to be filled with the Spirit. I want you to make it. I want you to make it. I want you to make it. Hallelujah. Well, preacher, what if I hadn't received and I'm seeking? You'll make it. Glory to God. You'll make it. You'll make it. But you're not going to seek long until you receive it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to get happy whether you do or not. Because the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And what happens, preacher, after he comes? If you miss the rapture, 7 years of tribulation is going to take place, such as this world has never seen before. At one time, the third of all men are going to be killed. At one time, a fourth part of the earth, the Bible says, will be affected. Hail will drop from the heavens, weighing 100 pounds apiece. Blood will run from faucets. There will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. The very planets of the heavens that our astronauts are trying to reach tonight are going to leave their courses. And there's going to be a cataclysmic effect on this entire world that's going to take place. And devils are going to be turned loose from the very pits of the damned body. Literal millions. The Bible describes them in the book of Revelation. They're going to sting men, and men are going to pain in such agony that they're going to beg God to let them die. They'll try to kill themselves and cannot. You say, well, preacher, is it going to be many people saved in the tribulation? It'll be millions saved in the tribulation. But I'm here to tell you tonight that if you can't live for Jesus now, while that revival is taking place and the Spirit of God moves and God's anger has not, or His mercy has not turned to anger as it will do, it's going to be very, very hard to live for God then. A sad day when you walked out the last time. You said no to Jesus Christ. You wake up with a saddening, sickening thought and knowledge and realization that Jesus has come. The rapture's taking place. And you wasn't ready. You wasn't ready. You wasn't ready. My God, have mercy. You know, I had actually gotten to the place some time ago that I really didn't want Jesus to come back right now. Oh, I was ready. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I was ready. preaching revivals every night, praying every day, studying the Bible. But I had such plans, it just burned in my heart. Lord, I want to have citywide meetings. I want to see thousands saved. I want to see them walk the aisles and come to Jesus. I want to see scores filled with a mighty Holy Spirit in just a moment's time. I want to see them healed by the power of God. I want to see it. And I had thought about it so much in my heart that I had said, Lord, if you want to delay your coming a while, it's all right with me. But those words of John in Revelation, the last penned by the prophet, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly. Those words kept hammering at me. I told my wife one day, I said, honey, is it wrong the way that I feel? And that young girl that was Methodist when God baptized in the Holy Spirit, and she said, honey, surely it's not wrong to want revival. To want to see precious lives stirred and changed, surely not. But I'd pray about it, thinking that the Lord delayeth his coming. And your thoughts are in that direction. I was at Lewis Davison's church in Palmer, Ohio. Harry Bouton was associate pastor there. He'll verify what I'm saying. I called an all-night prayer meeting. My body was so weary after 5.5 weeks of preaching. But I called an all-night prayer meeting one night. I didn't know how many would stay, but there was a good number that stayed all night long. I felt that my muscles would completely collapse about 1 o'clock in the morning. We'd had a tremendous altar service. People prayed through to the mighty Holy Ghost that night. God had moved graciously. And then the people just kept right on praying till daylight the next morning. Just about 3 a.m., I was walking across the platform of that church, praying, laying my petitions before God, telling Him the burning desires of my heart. When I caught a brand new vision of Jesus Christ, I saw the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. His power hit me and I fell to my knees with my face on the floor as it literally engulfed me. And when I came to myself, I was praising His name and saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. I long for Jesus to come back. I'm so tired of black headlines, disappointments, heartache, and frustration. And I'll see some precious brother that I've loved so much fall by the wayside. It breaks my heart. Some precious soul that used to have a face that beamed with God's glory lose their way. And He said that there would be many that would fall away in this day and age. That's what He said. And my soul cries tonight. And if He wants to make this the last service and the last altar call, I'm ready. Hallelujah. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, I have spoken to this people tonight from the depths of my heart. I have cried to them. I have told them that you could come at any moment. And I know you're coming. I know that you are. And Father, I pray that Thy Spirit would move upon this people, not for the sake of Jimmy Swaggart, but for the sake of their own hearts and lives. I'm asking it in the name of Jesus, that as we approach this day, this time, and this age, when the trump will sound, And those that have gone on to be with the Savior, their bodies lying in the dust of the earth, they'll arise. Hallelujah, they'll arise. Mama, don't fret. That little baby that you laid away is going to come again. That child, Dad, that you look at his picture and your heart longs to hear his voice. Just the touch of his hand. Hold on. You'll hear it and you'll feel it and you'll see it. For Jesus is coming. Glory to God. Yes, he is. I walked away from a cemetery the other day, face wet with tears. And I said, Mama, as I looked at her tombstone, I'm watching, Mama, for the coming of that glad millennial day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me tell you tonight, it's going to take more than you realize to make the rapture. Don't put it off, but getting ready. Don't be half sure, for we must be ready. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But where I go to prepare a place for you. But where I am, ye may be also. No, you won't have to go through the tribulation. You can be ready. You can be ready. I feel God's Spirit moving all across this place. I feel it. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you ever looked at a preacher, I believe I can say before God, I don't have an ounce of malice in my heart against anybody. I don't care what church you belong to. God has sheep and many foes. We're just trying to make it to glory. He said, if you want to live for me, no devil can pluck you out of my hand. But some of you in this audience tonight, you're not ready. I remember when I was a backslidden teenage boy, many a night I would be awakened with a cold sweat. And my constant fear was, my God, Jesus has come and I'm left. I'm left. Many a time I still remembered I would ease to the door of my mother and dad's bedroom. And I would listen for Mom's breathing. I knew if I heard Mom, Jesus hadn't come. Because I knew when he came, she'd go. I knew it. I don't worry about that now. God has spoken to some of you here. I feel it. He's talking to you. Speaking to you. Oh, glory to God. How many in this audience tonight, Brother Swaggart? I want to make the rapture. Now, wait a minute. Don't raise your hand. I want to be ready. Be it morning, noon, or night. When the trump sounds, I want to be ready. And Brother Jimmy, I'm afraid that there's something in my heart that ought not be there. Neighbor, there won't be any time to pay a debt that you justly owe and have not paid because of negligence. There won't be any time to right or wrong, to ask forgiveness. He said it's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. How many here tonight? Somebody said, preacher, I heard a preacher say the other day when the rapture takes place, Christians are going to go out of movie houses and dance halls and honky-tonks, gambling holes and harlots, parlors. I thought, my God, have mercy. My Bible says in Galatians, the words of Paul, that these that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't you think it's going to happen that way? It's not. You'd better have on the wedding garment. How many here tonight, preacher?
I want you to be honest with yourself. I want you to take some spiritual inventory. Am I ready? Am I ready? Am I ready? If you feel that by His grace and His righteousness, I can say I'm righteous because my righteousness is in His righteousness, not mine, but His. If you feel that you're ready, I don't want to see a hand. But if you feel there is something there that may hinder, something there that may stop you, that may cause you to be lukewarm, I want you to raise that hand right now. I want to pray for you. There is a young man, a young lady, a man, a lady, a man, a young lady. I see it, sister. Other hands, two young people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, I pray as your Son, Jesus Christ, prayed 2,000 years ago. I do not pray for the world, for the sinner, for the profligate. But I pray for these that thou hast given to the Son. I pray for these that have drifted and gone astray. I pray, God, that you'd help them tonight to make that calling and election sure. Not to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing doctrines. Not to make shipwreck of their faith, as some have done, but to be ready. I want everyone to stand in the audience, please. Everyone standing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Benson, Brother Gunn, Brother Bhutan, would you come down here and stand, please? As I mentioned to you a moment ago, Brother Abbott, come stand with Brother Bhutan. Thank you. Jesus could come tonight, and your troubles will be over, Mama. Your troubles will be over, Mama. Yes, it will, when Jesus comes. God's going to move through this audience. I felt it. I want every spirit-filled believer, I want you to whisper a prayer to God. Pray right now. God's going to smooth some wrinkles out of some wedding garments tonight. He's going to take out some spots with heaven's spot remover, the blood of the Lamb. He's going to shine up a crown that's grown a little rusty because of neglect. He's going to get the new name ready and the mansion polished spick and span. I want every one of you that raised your hand, God's dealing with you. I feel it. I felt it tonight. Some of you have cried, "My God, I don't want to be left." You didn't say it out loud, but it was in your heart. We're going to sing it in just a moment. And I want every one of you that raised your hand, Brother Jimmy, I'm not sure if I'd make the rapture or not. I want you to make your way out and stand up here, but Brother Benson, Brother Gunn, Brother Bhutan, Brother Abbott, I've had these men to come to help you and give you support. As we sing, come on, brother, God bless you. Every one of you that raised your hand, step out. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O of God, I come. Jim, come help us. I come. I want every every spirit-filled believer, raise your right hand toward heaven and pray with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person here. God, send the Spirit over this place. Send the power of the Holy Ghost over this place tonight. Lord, send it. Touch the souls of this people in the mighty name of Jesus. There are others that are here that are not ready. There are others here that are not ready. Others here that are not ready, O God. And I pray that Thy Spirit will quicken their spirits. Thy power will deal with their eternal soul. And in the mighty name of the King of Kings, that they will come home tonight. And those garments will be without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I ask it in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord. God's moving tonight. How many more would come? How many here, Brother Jimmy? I'm unsaved. I know I'm not ready. I know I'm not ready because I'm unsaved. I don't know the Lord. I want to make it when that time comes. Would you step out right now as we sing it again? Just as I am and wait. Keep praying, folk. Keep believing God. The Spirit of the Lord moves here tonight to rid my soul of one dark blood. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. O Lamb of God, I come. O Lamb of God, I come. Hallelujah. 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 How many here tonight, Brother Swaggart? I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I am not baptized with the Holy Ghost. I want everything that God has for me. Let me see your hands. I want you to go to the prayer room. Brother Bhutan will open the door to the prayer room, and I want about 35 or 40 believers filled with the Spirit to follow these people into the prayer room right over here and help them pray for the mighty baptism and infilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. Blessed Lamb of God. Blessed Lamb of God. Those of you that want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come on right now. Make your way to the prayer room. He said to ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. He stood on that last day of the feast and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. I want about 25 people that love Jesus to come stand behind these folk right now and help them pray. About 25, come on, this moment. Young people, mom and dad alike, come on, this moment, as God moves. Of one dark blood, and thou who beats. Yes, give me some Christians, please. Don't stand back there. Come on, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you can't do anything but just stand here, that's all right. It'll help. Yes, it will. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, I pray for these that have come tonight. I pray that Thy Spirit would move upon them. I pray that Thy Spirit would move within them. I pray that You would help them tonight and forgive them of every sin and every iniquity. You said, O Lord, that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. Lord, I pray tonight that Thy Spirit would move in these people, that You would cleanse every stain and wash them clean by the blood of the Lamb. I ask it in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of the Lamb. Hallelujah to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.